Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, producer and host of this show, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 10 years, we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business. Now, the guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, actors, singers, comedians, writers, PR agents, screenwriters, script supervisors. It just goes on and on and on. And we throw in a darn entertainment attorney in December just because hopefully your career is at the point where you need an entertainment attorney. So check yourself in December. Is my career in need of an entertainment attorney? If it's not, revamp. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are the three ways that you can find any of our shows. They're always for free. Number one, go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website and search for our show title, which is Question Reality. Number two, go to iTunes, the Google Play Store, or Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And number three, the free mobile app, and you can get that on the App Store or the Google Play Store. Now, when you download the free LA Talk Radio mobile app, make sure that you explore our other shows because we have a bunch of super fun hosts discussing all kinds of things. Say that you need a little problem in the old bedroom, 12 a.m. on a Friday night. Well, there is a host for you. If you have any problems, this radio station seems to have they have somebody for everyone. And, that's no exception. We have something for you today. And I know I've been getting emails and texts. People are so excited about our guests.
There's something happening. There's lots of things happening right now. I have no connection. But that's okay because I have two phallic symbols coming at me right now. All's good in the world. Hot damn. That's all right. I'm going to continue. No problem. Because I forgot to start my Facebook Live. So this is good. There we go. Starting live video. Everything's good. Connection. Let's see. Let's put this on the prettiest. Let's see. Look how Jason handles this. We're back, people. Well, I forgot to start my Facebook Live. So it all works out. Now, when you download the free LA Talk Radio mobile app, make sure you explore all of our other shows. And finally, if you want to refer a guest, that is Jason. Finally, if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on my show to promote yourself, your product, or help listeners with sage career advice, we are currently booking for 2019. So please go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com. latalkradio.com is the website where we air the show. You want to go to questionrealityradioshow.com. That is where you go to submit for guest consideration. Let's see. Now, people are going to be coming in fast and furious. Every week when I do my Facebook Live, we have so many people. You're looking at the pretty Albert and the gorgeous Tina here. We're going to introduce them in a second. When I posted this little lovely that was going to be on the show today, my gosh, I got a ton of emails and a ton of texts, so many questions. I'm going to try to get to them, but I don't think I'll get to all of them. Now, let me tell you briefly No, we don't want it now. Oh, that's right. We don't want it to be on the exclusive. We need someone to like navigate it. Albert is supposed to be in charge of this. You're supposed to be doing the Facebook Live. Thank you, Jason. Jason is now DP. Our first guest who has the camera is Jason Michael Kennedy. He is. Thank you. Did you see that, Jason? He's like, what the hell kind of corny shit goes on in this radio show? Jason Michael Kennedy, he is the casting director with Susan. Please make sure I pronounce it right. Bluestein or Bluestein?
First one, Bluestein.
Bluestein. Okay. Bluestein Casting. And this is the casting office which casts for the long-running CBS series, NCIS, NCIS Los Angeles, and I am correct, NCIS New Orleans too, or they used to?
We did the first three seasons, but
okay.
Now that's being cast out of New Orleans.
Okay. All right. Let's get you a little closer. let's hear a deep, haughty breath, Jason.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Turn him up a little bit. Turn Jason up a little bit, please. Okay. So Jason has worked on more than 50 television shows and film projects over the last 18 years. 18 years? You only look like you're 22. What's going on here? He is a proud member of the Hollywood Teamsters Local 399. See, I didn't even know that was Local 399. Learn something new. And the National Board of Directors for the Casting Society of America. Now he's supposed to get the applause because he's got so many things. So many things. And if you want to please follow Jason Michael Kennedy, you can follow him on Twitter at Kennedy Casting, at Kennedy Casting. Also on Instagram at Kennedy Casting, and you can check out all of his credits on imdb.com. Now we also have a little sexy lady here today. Thank you so much. I'm putting Jason to work as the DP today. Thank you. She is going to be the co-host. Her name is Christina Carlisi. Yes. Tina Carlisi. Carlisi. Now, she has a ton of credit, so I had to chop it down. There were so many. She's just been doing this for so long. Some of her credits include, I just picked my favorite shows, okay? Supernatural, Criminal Minds, Charmed, CSI, The Mentalist, Rizzoli and Isles, Bones, and of course, Glee. Yeah, now it's supposed to be a... You're fired! You're not getting any pay for this show. And, you can go to her website. It's ChristinaCarlisi.com. You can also find her on IMDb.com. And we have the sexy Asian persuasion, one of my very close friends, Colin Lim. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, 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 yes. And you can find all of his credits on imdb.com. So we are, the featured guest is, of course, Jason Michael Kennedy. And I thought that I would come from the angle of an experienced actress and also a, can we call you an ingenue? Because that's for female. What would you call a male who's starting out in the business? A ingenue at er.
A hunk.
A hunky Asian guy. There you go. Now, it's a weird story, but you know I bring people from novice all the way up to Emmy winner, Grammy winner, Tony winner, and I do that because I want people to hear what happens, the whole gamut. And I met Colin... at, what was it? Jury duty. Yeah, we were there the whole entire day, never saw each other until the end of the day, and then we just ended up walking to the car. He was working professionally, Jason, in downtown LA. A very good job, making a ton of money. He wants to be an actor. He told me he was about to quit and pursue a career as an actor. So he is, I guess, what you call a novice. So I thought that would be good for people who are listening. He could ask questions from that angle. And then you, being a professional, could ask questions for people who are actually working professionals and still may have questions for someone like Jason. So you can chime in whenever you want, but I'm going to start this off because I found out something about you, Jason Michael Kennedy.
Uh-oh.
I heard that you were an amateur cat photographer and a professional people watcher. And explain. Yes, well, I want to get this.
Yes, the cat photographer part is true. I have two cats, and I love taking pictures of them. They're the cutest things in the world.
Yeah.
And I've always been a cat lover. But yes, I feel like my pictures of my cats are professional enough to put out there into the world.
I love cat pictures. Oh, yeah. I have a friend, Carrie Cavalier. She's a photographer. She has this cat named Winchester, or Winston. Went Churchill. She dresses this cat up for every occasion.
Yes.
4th of July, Christmas, the little cat is like 150 years old and his eyes are... And she'll dress him up. Mm-hmm. You know, he has no say in the matter.
Nope.
But I think he's happy, though.
Yeah.
I think looks happy.
It's fun. No, the cats are not happy. I'll tell you. They'll put up with it. They may tolerate it. But no, my mom, we've always had cats. My mom would put things on top of their heads. Just to have balance them there, and the cats would just sit there with something, you know. It could be like an actual hat or a napkin, or you know, just trying to balance a bottle or something, you know, something not too heavy, just to be, you know, just.
And they would sit there,
and they would just.
It was like they knew it was there, and they had to balance it, or else there's no catnip for them.
No, yeah, they knew they had to deal with this torture. They did.
Wow. So how you do you dress them up like my friend Carrie does for all the seasons?
No, not usually. I did get some Halloween costumes for my two cats. One of them was like a Tina Turner wig, basically, it looks like.
It was
awesome. But of course, you know, as soon as you put it on, the cat feels like they're being held down.
So
they're like, you know, scrunched down to the ground.
Yeah.
And then my other cat, we got him like a cowboy outfit, which is so cute. Hat and everything. It looks like he's got little feet. Oh my gosh, it's the best. But
do they ever claw you?
You know? No, they don't claw me, but they run away from me.
They run. So like, when they see the wig coming.
Yes, exactly.
See the wig coming, they're like running for the hills, right? Are you a dog lover at all?
Or? Yes, yeah, we have a dog too. And we
No costumes for the dogs.
Well, actually, this Halloween
Since
season,
you asked.
Yes, she got to wear a Freddy Krueger costume, was a big hit with my teenage son, because he loves all things horror, and she looked amazing in it. She was great. Yeah.
Wow.
But again, you know, pets don't like like outfits, so they feel like they're constricted and they can't move, and so yeah, it was
and
very short-lived.
And you know, Albert and I, we found this guy that was selling kittens by the side of the road years ago. So we took three of them and I thought, well, I want to make sure I give them a bath. Well, that didn't go over too well.
Like
my God, they clawed the hell out of me. I mean, they do not like water, but do you know, some cats do like water. I was watching this nature show and it just depends where their bloodline is from.
I think they like choice too. I think, you know, if you're forcing them into something, they will put up a fight for sure.
But do you know, some people can walk them on a leash. And I can't believe that.
I've tried that.
You've tried?
Yes, one of my older cats. Yes,
what?
I tried that.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Well, I got to see these pictures.
Okay.
Where are they? Are they on Instagram? Where are these cat pictures?
My cat pictures are definitely on Instagram.
All right.
And I'll be posting more soon.
Please post some soon. Holiday pictures. Now, what is this about you being a professional people watcher? We hope that's like in the realm of sanity.
Yeah, well, you know, that's my job. I'm a casting director, so I just kind of use that as, you know, just being playful.
I'm watching you, but I'm a casting director.
Right.
It's not creepy.
It's for work. Exactly. I'm not.
Stalking you.
You have to, because you're trying to see what's beyond, what's underneath the social mask.
Yes, yes.
Because people, as soon as they come in that room, you know they got their social mask on. You want to know what goes on because you want to know what's coming on that. So I'm digging it. I'm a professional people watcher too. Now, what inspired you to become a casting director? Are you one of these people who were pursuing a career maybe as an actor and then said, nah, I'm not interested in that. I'd rather be casting.
Well, I mean, yes, as a kid, as a teenager, I enjoyed acting. I was doing musical theater. I was definitely very active. And I think the turning point for me was in middle school. I was still performing. I still loved doing that up until my early 20s. But I realized when we were doing a talent show and I was trying to encourage my friends to go and audition for this thing, because I was like, oh, I know you can do this. You should totally. And it was just something that kind of clicked with me, and I loved it, and I loved, you know, finding talent, so to speak, at that age. And it wasn't, I didn't know what it was that I was looking, you know, hoping to do. But in my early 20s, I was, you know, still doing plays, and I was like, you know, I think I want to do this. I just don't know what it's called or how to get into it. And I was living in South Florida at the time, and I started applying for casting offices for a job. There were like three or four casting directors down there, so there was no work, no opportunities. And I fortunately, through connections, you know, with my boyfriend at the time, met somebody who was a manager, talent manager, interned with him for a day.
One whole day,
and he knew someone who was starting up their own agency, and he's like, hey, you should, you know, interview with them for an assistant job. I was like, oh, great, and I did. I got the job. I worked with them for about, oh, gosh, I want to say 4 or 5 years. And that was a great learning experience. I know I never want to be an agent again. but it was fantastic. I loved, you know, developing these careers and working with actors and putting people on tape. It was really a fun experience. And then I used that, that opportunity to kind of segue into casting.
Yeah.
Made the jump and moved out here and started working.
When was that? Like, was that 18 years ago?
2001, or? Yeah. Okay. It was actually, it was October of 2001 that I came out here, did kind of an exploratory run of the city, and started interning at UDK and some other offices, and made it the move official in April. In January, I made the move official and got my first job.
So, wow. Yeah. What do you think of that, Tina? Do you have any questions about that?
I have so many questions as an actress to a casting director, I want to digress for 1 second back to the cat photography.
Oh, no.
So I, too, am a cat lover, and I have two crazy cats, and I also have a bearded dragon, and I have one of my cats. I have two gray tabbies. Mm. And one of them, Bucky, is in love with the bearded dragon. And I have pictures of the two of them, the bearded dragon and the tabby, that are remarkable. And I live down the street from a woman who's a photographer, professional photographer, and I showed her the pictures. And she said, you need to enter these in a photo contest. And I'm like, come on, I took them on my iPhone. And she said, no, seriously. And I did. And I won.
Oh, yay.
Wow.
One of the pictures. These pictures are remarkable. I'll show them to you afterwards. Okay. But they love each other. They have this intimate relationship with each other. So you have this prickly bearded dragon lizard prehistoric looking thing and this fuzzy sweet little kitten who they just are. They're enraptured with each
other.
Interspecies relationships. I love that.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Now, let's cut to Colin.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Jason?
Oh, a lot.
Oh, we'll go around.
Okay.
I just want to shout out to Nikki Nicole here, who's a cat lover too.
Oh, Nikki Nicole, that's my cousin. Oh she is a cat lover too. She's a cat lover. I think she has a dog. She likes all animals. Yeah. Sorry, you hear that, Nikki? Jason gave you a shout out. You know, you're moving on up to the East Side, girl, when Jason gives you a shout out. So from the perspective of pretty much, I would say, how long have you been acting now working on your professional career?
Screen acting has been about 2 years. It's been about 2 years since I first met you at the jury duty.
Wow,
that was before I quit my job. Pursuing this full time will be about two years. But I was up on stage for about 10 years.
Oh, doing theater.
Musical theater. Yeah. Like that. So, screen acting, I'm pretty a newbie.
Yeah. So when you go in, do you have any questions for someone of Jason's caliber of casting director that you want to ask?
Yeah, well,
if you went in front of him, what would you?
I would say he looks super nice. Like usually, yeah, I would expect casting directors or like these directors to look very intimidating, and they're like they have these piercing eyes and be like, okay,
they're professional people, yeah, watchers,
and they'll be like, yeah, professional people watchers, and their looks, it just gives me the vibe that they're thinking like, yeah, what do I see him as, that kind of stuff, and it just puts you in like. You know, nervous.
Now, what do you got to say about that, Jason? There, I have an answer for that, but you're the casting director. Well, I mean, I need to answer the question.
We're people too, yeah. But no, I there is this image of casting directors that's been portrayed in television and film that, you know, that we're, you know, dismissive, yeah, and you know, and yes, you will find some people who have a lot of things are going on, and they might, yeah, seem that way. But yeah, I for me.
But they don't. You want actors to, absolutely, come in there and rock the part, because if, yes, they rock the part, you get to cast them and go home early and get a cocktail.
We don't want to have to do this over and over, right, and over again,
right,
for this one role. Yeah, no, we want everybody who comes in to knock our socks off and to be great. And we, I mean, in our office, we try to make it a very warm and inviting environment because we want people to feel comfortable,
right,
to do their work and to do their best and to not feel, you know, stressed out.
In addition to, all right, you expect an actor to come into the room prepared, mm-hmm, bringing their picture and resume, coming in prepared, looking like the part, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
Aside from that, what else do you want an actor to uniquely bring into the room? Other than being prepared and professional and friendly and all that, what else do you want to, are you looking for in an actor? When do you know that someone's
right
the, yeah, shit, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, there's,
I think I asked about six questions there,
that's,
but
fine, you, no, I mean, yes, we want actors to come in and make strong choices, have an idea, have done their research, yes, being prepared, absolutely, and bring a little bit of your own personality, you know, to the character if it applies, and we want to know who you are as a person in that short amount of time that we get to see you. You know, in television, we don't get to, you know, really have a conversation very much with actors when they come in and read, but we can get a sense of who you are and how you're going to be to work with, too, because that's a big part of it. It's not just your performance, but also, are you going to be a jerk? Are you going to be the person who asks too many questions? You know, do you really want this job? There are actors that come in, and sometimes you get the feeling they don't, that they're just going through the motions. And so, yeah, we want a little bit of who you are, and we want, I think, I tell actors sometimes that you want us to want more, you know? You want to kind of keep us wanting more.
Right.
We want to get to know you. So bring that that element into the room.
Is it important that when an actor, I've had this discussion with other actors, that when an actor walks into the room, do they need to be this character you're looking for? Or, you know, sometimes I audition for things that are very different from who I am, just as me, Tina, yeah, Carlisi, walking into a room. I'm more of a character actor, so, and I can do a lot of different things. So when I'm auditioning for something that is outside my just usual persona, yeah, is it important that you see that character walk into the room? Or do you like to see the human walk into the room and then go into the character?
Yeah. I should preface this question and probably for all the others. These are all my opinions and how we work, mm-hmm, in our office, and right, everyone's going to have a different idea. But yes, I feel like it's not necessary to come into the into the room as that character. But I completely understand when actors need to, you know, they really need to get into a certain zone, you know, emotionally, and it helps to stay in character. And then sometimes they'll, you know, pop out of it afterwards, or sometimes they won't. And we completely get that. That's fine. But no, I love getting to know a little bit about who you are. And it could be something as simple as just how you say hello. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you telling us a story about how you got to the audition. It could just be, you know, something simple. I'm telling you, we've heard lots of stories.
I know. I used to, yeah. Talking about that, you know, I'm from the East Coast. I used to direct theater, and, you know, in community theater, you produce and you cast and you do it all, right? We were auditioning for, you know, the play Rashomon, which is a Japanese play. Well, a guy came in. We were like, next. The guy comes jumping, ran into the office, and he had on a full ninja outfit and whipped his sword out. He was a method actor. Nothing wrong with that, but he was serious. And it was like, okay, I appreciated that. But the other people did not like that at all. So it really depends, I think. Some cast directors are like, oh, I think that's cool. And others are like, I cannot believe. So, you know, you really, it's a judgment call. Now, can you please describe a typical week, a work week for a casting director? Like, we all want to know what goes on. So what happens from the time the story comes, you got to cast for a character? What happens?
I'll start. I mean, I mostly just cast television, so I'll kind of keep
television,
you in that world, because it is very different than features.
Say apart for NCIS.
We will get a script, usually the night before we have to have a concept meeting, so we need to read it that night. I start breaking down the characters so that we have a clear idea of what we're talking about. And then we have our meeting. We talk about the characters, what they're looking for, what they're not looking for. And then we release that breakdown. And I'm giving you the short version. There's a lot of approval steps in the process. And we release that breakdown to agents and managers. So we usually get that breakdown out within 4 or 5 hours of having that meeting. And we're starting to go through submissions. And we can have easily up to 3,000 submissions for some roles. And it gets... sometimes it's less, but that is a lot. And if, you have 12 roles, it can be overwhelming. But yeah, we have a great team in our office, so we'll split up some of the work there, and we'll have pre-reads. If not the very next day, definitely on our third day of prep, we'll start pre-reading a bunch of actors, easily 20 or 30 actors per role, and by our fourth or fifth day of prep, we are having our producer sessions. We have our producers in the room, our writers and our directors, which is awesome. It's an amazing collaborative experience having them in the room, and we have the best producers, I have to say, on both of these shows. It's so much fun. And we have about 2 days of producer sessions, and then we have to make deals. And we try to get those deals in time for a table read the very next day, which actors are invited to, and then we start shooting, and then it just happens all over again.
What?
Yes. So it's very fast.
So when you, that did seem fast. Okay. So you get the script, and when you say that you submit it for actors, are you talking about on Breakdown Express?
Yes.
You don't send any roles to Actors Access or LA Casting. You don't do that. Even for like little small roles,
rare occasions, if we're having a hard time finding something very specific, that maybe agents and managers don't have, we might do a really broad search, Actors Access and other places too, but as you heard, there's already too many submissions. There's a lot of talent out there.
So if you get 3,000 for one role, what do you do with, I mean, how do you prioritize? Do you say, okay, well, I've worked with this agent, so I know that he brings in good people, or is that, because I know
there's
got to be some logic.
Yes, if there's an agent that you know that has a certain certain taste that you you appreciate, and you are on the same page.
So you'll know that agent knows exactly what you want because they brought in people that fit almost the same.
So certainly their clients will pop. Sometimes it's a look that that will jump out at you. Certainly we go through resumes pretty thoroughly to see what we're looking for. It varies from role to role depending on the qualities that are really the priority. Sometimes we were looking for a security guard, but he's got to be a certain height.
Right.
He's got to get into a scuffle with somebody who's really tall.
And right.
So we have to start there. We have to start with that height first, and then we can go and look at other things that are important. So it varies.
Mm. Tina, any questions on that, or Colin?
What is the, I do have a question. Do you feel that an actor's social media presence, do you guys take that into consideration when you're casting a role, like what on social media, how popular they are? I know that's become sort of a stickler with the casting process. And
I wouldn't think you'd have time to be looking at any social media.
They're rating, you know, like they have a certain amount of followers. So we're just going to look at actors that have over 700,000.
Yeah, I know they do that in distribution.
Not in television, I'll tell you. I have heard some, you know, independent films may really want some kind of following because it's built-in press for them.
Yes.
Right.
I can get that. But no, not in television at all.
Because with film, it's like, okay, if there's two actors that you have their equivalent, I have a friend that works at a very large distribution company, and he says, I'll be honest with you, Priscilla, if it comes down to it, we will look at the following. We'll look at the social media because we want to pick somebody who has a large following because they're going to bring in the people. So, you know, that is important with more so film than television. Colin, did you have a question?
I do. I was curious to see, because you're working a lot for television shows. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you would have chance to work with a lot of, international talents, like talents who are not originally from the U.S. or English.
Sexy Asian persuasion like yourself. Let's just talk.
I hate it when you
But I just think you're damn sexy. Can I just get over it? Go ahead.
Okay. Going back to the question.
Yeah.
You know, I recently met up with the manager. And possibly talk about a representation. Mm-hmm. I do have an agent now. But she was interested in being a manager for me. And one of the things that she mentioned at the meeting was, are you going to take accent reduction class? And that just hit me. And I was like, wait a minute. I wasn't born here. Mm-hmm. But I lived in U.S. long enough to, you know, communicate in English, and I had no problem. I didn't want to, like, you know, speak like an American, but okay. I just wanted to be at a certain level where I can communicate and be understood. Mm-hmm. And now, if I were to try to break into this industry and try to work professionally as an actor in TV field, do you think it's necessary for international actors who have a little bit of accent or thick accent to take those classes, or do you think that's necessary?
I don't think it's necessary to be a successful actor with an accent. It will limit some of the roles that you will be considered for. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, there are tons of actors that have an accent they cannot eliminate, or, you know, cannot Americanize, I guess, and they still work. So it's completely your call. Do you want to go out for those roles that require you to have an American accent? Mm-hmm. Then you may have to, you know, work on it. But otherwise, you know, right now, just try to get yourself out there. Just try to get some work with, you know, who you are. So I wouldn't worry about it just yet. But it's up to you.
Yeah, and the more accents you do, the more castable, is that a word? Castable you are.
Castable.
Right? I mean, my God, you know what's amazing? Australian actors do incredible American accents. Like, I can't even tell that they're Australian. And British people, too. Sometimes they speak better than American people. But that makes them... I mean, they're very smart to get the dialect down because, look, they're headlight, like iZombie. I didn't even know that she was Australian. And so many foreign people, foreign actors are speaking perfect American accents, and they're getting cast in the top roles. Okay, so what are some casting directors' pet peeves about working with actors? Now, everybody has, you know, different things.
That's a Pandora's box.
It is. It really is. But so, like, some people don't like people who come in and wear perfume. Some don't want you to even come at them with your bony, scrawny little fingers shaking their hand. They don't want to touch you. But what are just maybe three of the top ones?
You can't just let me get three. That's not fair.
I know. All right. Well, as many as you can round off, because I know there's so many.
I mean, I think anybody that, whether you're an actor or anybody, you just need to be mindful that, that other people feel differently than you do.
Yeah.
And may be very sensitive, you know, to certain things.
Maybe some things that are not common, because common sense would tell you what to do and what not to
sure.
do, but maybe yeah. some things you wouldn't think about. Maybe that's a better
Well,
question.
I would say be mindful of things that are distracting or could be distracting to other people, and you can't cover everything, but I will say, you know, it could be a wardrobe choice. It could be, you know, using props. Things that will take us out of the scene and we start thinking about what you're doing or what you're wearing. And that's not where the focus should be. It's got to be on your performance.
Yeah.
So I caution actors all the time, you know, just be careful of that stuff. Sometimes, you know, a woman will come in with really expensive shoes or a bag that that my partner Susan will notice, and I know that for like 10 or 20 seconds she's thinking about that bag.
Yeah.
Or those shoes, and she's not watching the performance,
right,
because it
right.
happens to me too. You know, someone will come in with you know, with a uniform because they're coming in for a cop or something, and I'll be thinking, did they go to the store and buy that outfit
uh-huh.
for this audition?
Right,
you know,
right.
And it's like, oh my gosh, how much money did they spend
right.
on this or that? And so,
and they think they're coming in like they really
yes.
want. You're going to appreciate that
right.
they got the outfit.
Yeah. So just be careful. We can easily be distracted. You don't want us to be distracted by those silly things.
Right.
You want us to be focused on you and your performance.
Right.
Yeah.
Tina, you have a question?
That was going to be one of my questions. What are your pet peeves? When do you find it necessary to give an actor a redirect in an audition? When is that appropriate? And when is it, I guess, a twofold question? And when is it appropriate for an actor to say, would you like to see it another way?
I will often redirect if I feel like they could do it, but they're not getting it. They're not, or maybe there's a different choice that I think will get them there. Sometimes I'll ask them to do it a different way, or just do it again, just to see what else, you know, they have. If it's a shaky start, it depends. You know, if I'm in a pre-read session, I have a little bit more flexibility
right.
and time to redirect. As we talked about earlier, we want the actors that come in to nail it, because, you know, we already spent all this time going through thousands of submissions to bring
yeah.
in this small group of actors. They have to do great, because one of them has got to book the role. There are many opportunities, but it doesn't always happen. Sometimes, you know, we see enough just from that one performance. We don't need to see it again. You know, maybe they still get a callback. Maybe they don't. Maybe, you know, there's so many other things that the actor can't even control that go into that decision making. So I definitely wouldn't want actors to be discouraged from not getting that redirect, because it's oftentimes not necessary. Sometimes I just redirect just to play, just to have some fun and try something different, because maybe there's a side of it that I wanted to see if it works, you know, like maybe something just popped in my head. Oh, there's another way we could try this. Let's see if this
right.
works, you know. So it's really, we're just playing around a lot of times, just trying to see what fits and what, you know, what will work. As for the actors asking, it's, you know, it's tough. Yes, you can ask, but chances are, unless we've offered it up, you probably are going to get a no. That's fine. That was great. Whatever. You know, sometimes when an actor asks if you want to see it another way, it comes off a little insecure. Like, you know, like maybe they felt like they could do better, or they just want, you know, more time to play, which is perfectly
yeah.
fine. I get it. I don't think it's necessary.
Is this true? One friend of mine who's a casting director said that when they ask you, do you have any questions, it's really them saying, are you ready? Rather than they want you to ask a question, but that doesn't mean that you're not. What? Explain.
It's both, yeah. You know, I don't always ask that question, but I do want actors to know that is...
That's an option.
This is your time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want you to ramble on and ask a dozen questions, but yes, if you have a question that is going to help you give the best performance, we want you to ask it. And yes, I will sometimes say, do you have any questions? And yes, that is an indication that we're ready to start, but also that is an opportunity to ask if you do have it. Highly recommend that you ask questions, especially in pre-read sessions where you have a little bit more time and flexibility. In producer sessions, if there's something that you didn't get answered, prior, I mean, yeah, ask us. It's fine. We had an actor the other day who wanted to know, what happened? What was just being told to me by this actor? Well, yeah, you need to know that information because that really impacts, what's happening in this.
Informs
scene.
You.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
And a lot of times on the sides, when you get them, they'll have a big X and cross through it. But you know what? Read it anyway, because that is going to tell you what's going
on.
And
I'll tell you, in our sides, we try to give actors as much information as possible. And sometimes they may get annoyed because there's a lot of FYI pages in our sides. So try to reference almost anything where the role is spoken about or they're in other scenes. We try to provide all that with a limit of like 15 pages. We do that so that we want you to have all the information. So, yes, please read it.
Yeah.
And if it's crossed out, definitely read it because there's context there. There's information
that's going to
fill you in.
That's right. And now, have you ever, you've been around millions of actors. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever run across actors that suck majorly in auditions, but if you cast them, they would rock that role out like nobody's business?
Absolutely. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, because I am proud to admit I suck at auditions. I don't even act, but when I did, I was the worst. But if I got the role, I was like, yeah, all right, and I could do it, And Robert De Niro was saying, Priscilla, it's not... You're going to suck if you suck. He was terrible at auditions. He hated them. He hated auditions. He's like, I'm telling you, that's not the end of the world. You just got to find somebody that knows that and doesn't call you.
Yeah, acting and auditioning are two totally different beasts,
as you guys are
aware. And it is a whole nother skill set. And yes, you have to master auditioning in order to have those opportunities to get that work. Yes, we might know, this actor and we know they can do better. But a lot of times you have to nail it in the room.
That's terrible.
I feel for actors. I really do, because this is one of the many reasons why I'm not an actor, is because I can't go through that. That's painful.
It is. The memorization.
All the judgment. People writing notes about me.
I know. The memorization alone is traumatic, but then when you're in front of people, some people can't process the whole process, for lack of a word. But there are many actors out there that it's very sad that they won't even go in front of casting directors and won't go out and audition because they cannot get over the stage fright involved. Have you heard those stories?
I get that. That's possible. So I mean, there are certainly some even well-known actors who are bad at auditions, and they won't read for anything. And they're fine not auditioning and not getting work. But maybe the occasional offer that will come their way. They're fine with that. That's
terrible, because you need to audition to get the good parts.
It's really hard, walking into a room, a waiting room, and you see seven or eight other actors there, women in my case, that are, they're there reading for the same part, and you're like, I know her. She's fucking great. Or she's beautiful.
That doesn't bother me at all. I don't care what you look like. I just can't memorize the damn lines.
I can't memorize that.
I cannot. It's like, okay, can you just let me do my own lines and it'll go well for everyone?
Except maybe the writer.
I know. Like, no, that's not going to work.
Well, Tina, what I will say is just remember you're there for a reason. You're there because you bring something unique and special.
And then I start going, okay, if I were casting this, I think I would cast her. And I'm like, shut up. Why are you saying that?
Don't do that.
I know. What is the craziest casting experience you've ever had? Like, where an actor just went AWOL.
There are
many stories.
There are many. I'll give you two. One where a really well-known actor was coming in for a miniseries that we were working on, and we have a camera behind me. I was reading, and he's reading with me, and he was a very good actor, and he decided that this was a very physical scene. And he got really close to me, and he squeezed, like towards the end of the scene, and he squeezed my cheeks, and then he slapped my face, like playfully. But he's standing, he's standing right here. The camera can't see him because he's so close. And I can't see my sides because he's so close.
And like, he slapped you silly again.
And of course, I was a little, this was earlier in my career, and I couldn't say anything. I was already a little intimidated. But I was a little intimidated, by this, well-known actor and, that I got to read with. And so, yeah. But no, we've had, I've had an actor dive into my couch at the end of a scene. Actors screaming at the top of their lungs in a room very, very much smaller than this.
Right.
For no reason sometimes.
See, I love that.
And of course, actors bringing weapons. Don't ever bring weapons. That. Even play weapons.
Yes.
Even, dollar store toy.
Yeah.
Toy guns. No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So it happens.
I want to be a casting director now. You get to live all that. So you get to go home and tell all these stories.
All these stories. Yes.
That's like an exciting life you've got rocking it out. Listen up. We're all second career. I'm going to be a casting director. But that's fun though, right? I mean.
I love it.
You've got to love it.
Every day, there's so many challenges that we. I love problem solving. All the issues that pop up, even the ones that frustrate me and make me want to scream. And I love finding that match, that actor that goes with that part. Sometimes it's not who I would choose, and that the producers, go. And sometimes it's just perfect. It's kismet. They just they go with the right choice. Bringing someone in that I saw in a play that's never done anything before, and they book their first guest star on a show.
Right.
Those things are just it just makes me so happy.
Do you feel like you have creative input? I mean, if someone walks into a room and you really feel like they have something to offer, can you fight for them? And do
that's great. Yeah. Well, we fight for the actors all the time. And sometimes it might mean changing the concept of the role. They may have wanted this to be a certain way, and this actor just brings an element that just is so interesting and not.
Yeah, does that happen often where a person walks into the room and you say, "Wow, none of us thought of it that way," and we're going to take a chance on this person.
More often than you would think, yeah.
Yeah, because there's you see some performances on television. There's such great television on right now that you see some of these actors that are you just think, I wonder if they walked into the room with that or was that the creative choice, because they're so wonderfully unique.
Perfect example of that. I was cast in a small role in Dodgeball, right? Yeah. And my original part was, I was a naughty nurse and there were some scenes.
That sounds perfect.
That's perfect for me. All right, any kind of touching, squeezing, it's all rocking for me. And then something, they cut the role, but Ben Stiller and I, we got to talk I didn't know that this was early in my career, so I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to go with Vince Vaughn eating in the same line, right? So I was way over in the steak line, not in the hot dog and chips line. Who knew? But anyway, Ben Stiller just loved his conversation with me, and he made Ben Stiller's behind the computer where he's watching porn, where he likes big women. If you freeze the camera, right, and you look to the left, I'm on the DVD cover as a naughty nurse. So I walked in with one role,
that's
walked out with another. He made it happen. Right. So we are going to thank you so much for coming on. And I wanted to know, what is the best way for actors to submit for upcoming projects? So do you just do NCIS right now? Because those are just huge.
NCIS,
I mean,
and NCIS Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. But
yeah, for submitting for our shows,
you're not doing anything else other than
agents and managers. There may be other projects down the road where you'll find other opportunities.
So the agents and managers know how to submit.
Exactly.
For you. No SAG eligible, just no, has to be SAG. No. Oh, SAG eligible?
Oh, please. All, oh, all really? Actors are considered. Are you kidding me? No.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, yes, we have to do our due diligence. We have to consider union actors over non-union actors. But we taft Hartley all the time.
Oh, that's
if someone
great.
If someone is right for the role and yeah, absolutely. No, I would not discourage you from
wonderful.
That's great.
So are you okay with people contacting you any other way? Like if they we already kind of said
it's
your
thing. Yeah,
so just follow him and like him. Don't yeah, be trying exactly. to submit to
and listen,
poor Jason.
I'm not going to reply. I don't
He's not going to reply to you.
I do read
He's
my
got
messages,
cocktails so. He's got to get down on. Cocktails and dressing up those damn cats. He's busy. All right. Well, do you have one last question? And we got to.
One last question. Yes.
Hi.
one last question will be. I'm sure you know this. But I see a lot of. I get a lot of self tape auditions nowadays.
Yeah.
Do you do them with the television casting too?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, I'm just putting myself
Thank
on
you
camera.
So much. Thank you.
Let me do it for
Thank
you this
you.
Time. But yeah.
Yes. We. If someone's not available to come in, mm-hmm. We will allow them to put themselves on tape, and we will watch those tapes. And sometimes, a lot of times, it's a pre-read set, appointment, and so we'll use that self-tape to determine whether or not we can call them back. And if it's somebody that's not available to come in at all for producers, we'll sometimes show them to our producer. We've cast people off of tape. Right now, we've got an actor recurring on NCIS Los Angeles who's from New York, and he went on tape,
Which character?
Peter Jacobson. He plays Rogers on the show. You've seen him a few times.
Oh, I watch that show.
He's from House.
Every week.
He's a fantastic actor.
Okay.
Really great addition to the show, and he was a self-tape. And so yeah,
that cast is so incredible. It's magical, right? Yeah. NCIS Los Angeles. Actually,
We're
both
so
of them.
We're
I mean,
so...
I've been watching both shows since day one,
yeah.
And the casting. There is never, and I'm not giving you any props now. I'm just saying in general, but the casting. It's just so magical because you never see someone and go. I really wouldn't have cast that person. Just like Alan Hooper, he cast for Modern Family.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you see Modern Family, you go, God, Alan, you did such a great job. But there's just, you know, it's amazing. Casting is an art form. Just like acting. I mean, it's all just one big team.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any questions for us? No, I'm just kidding. Well, thank you so much, Jason, for coming on.
Thank
I didn't it go fast? You
it
were
did.
Thinking, God, what am I going to do for 50 minutes? But it went fast. Can I get you to come back on maybe next year?
Yeah, happy to.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
Maybe just we'll just bring you on so you don't feel... Baby, by yourself. That's all right. I can, as you can see, we can handle any kind of things that come our way. But we wanted to thank you so much, and we wish you the very, very best. I'm hoping that NCIS, both of them, are going to be on for a couple more years.
I hope so too. I will say that
at least because
there's a very good chance
rocking.
We'll be back next season. So. Yeah.
Please don't take and away my boys. I love my boys. Okay, so follow and like Jason Michael Kennedy. Do you go by the full name or just Jason Kennedy?
You know, I started
I
billing
love
myself
the full name.
That full way. But,
yeah,
Jason
like
Priscilliona
Horn. Yeah, I like Jason at Kennedy Casting. And you want to check out ChristinaCarlisi.com.
Yes.
Woo woo. And we're going to let you say it.
Colin
Your name
Lim.
Is Colin Lim.
Colin Lim on IMDb.
IMDb.com. Yes. Thank you so much, everybody. Tune in next week. Bye.
Thank you, Priscilla.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.